evening. The Centre for Development and Enterprise, the CDE, has released a report put together by the CDE with Matthew Nell from Shisaka and Paul Jackson from TUHF. It's called Building Better Cities, a New Approach to Housing and Urban Development. Anne Bernstein, the Executive Director of the CDE, is on the line to us now. Hello, Anne.
Hi, John.
Densification, densification, densification. That's the word.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lots of benefits for South Africa going this route.
But it is not a route that the authorities seem at all keen to embark on. Do you understand the reluctance? Do you understand? I mean, you will have an opportunity to tell me why you think it is the best thing since sliced bread. Well, let's do that first. What are the advantages?
Look, South Africa has a massive housing challenge. We're certainly not saying this is the only way to deal with it. We have about 23% of the population living in informal settlements, and we're very much in favor of upgrading those informal settlements. And we have about 3.5 to 4 million RDP houses already existing. What we're saying is there's a really big opportunity in our urban areas, our urban residential areas, where there is enormous capacity to densify for existing, the 4.5 million existing detached houses to become much more, to have more units on those, the properties, to the houses to become houses not just for one family but for rental units. This is already happening. We're in favor of it. We want to manage it properly. It's vital that South Africa builds on this because it's happening irrespective of what you and I think or what cities think. And it's really important that we almost accelerate this wave but manage it very well. What we want are vibrant inner city neighborhoods and not inner city slums.
Yeah, I mean, that is always a huge challenge. How do you prevent a densification project from becoming a slumming project?
Well, I think there are a number of ways of doing this. So the key thrust of what we're arguing, and there are some cities that are moving in this direction, we're saying that metros need more capacity to manage densification. It is difficult. We need to facilitate quality developments taking place at an appropriate level of affordability, and that we can look at the standards for this. We need metros to ensure they have the kind of infrastructure, bulk infrastructure and other, to deal with greater numbers of people. And we need to make sure areas are zoned ahead of time to these are the rules and this is what you need to do, and to simplify the processes so that more and more of these small entrepreneurs and small developers are building according to basic standards and not finding the onerous bureaucracy so bad that they just go ahead anyway with whatever standards.
And then to go back to where I was sort of very clumsily trying to get to, can you help us understand a little better government's reluctance to make this a centerpiece? As you say, not the only thing they do to try and solve urban housing issues, but an important part of their strategy.
Look, I think it would be unfair to define it as reluctance. I think there's a lot of people don't know enough about this. I certainly didn't before we started doing this work about a year ago. So I think there's a lack of awareness of what's happening, the scale of what's happening, that this is a dynamic process that is almost, it's a market-driven process, and it's almost funding itself. So I think lack of awareness, I think there does have to be a move away from, you know, ideal standards for sort of upper-middle-class people to what's appropriate for a developing country city. And there are one or two metros, Cape Town in particular, but there are some others where there is an increasingly positive attitude. So I think this is starting to change, and we're trying to push this along by saying that if you think of the country's fiscal circumstances, we're looking for a different approach for housing for poorer people. It's much better for people to be close to, you know, in established suburbs in close by townships where you're connected through transport, through schools being available, through all sorts of things. You're connected to all the advantages of the city that certainly I and many other people take for granted, but we've tended to put poorer people at the outskirts of the cities and unintentionally intensified the problems of unemployment, of poverty, and exclusion from all the benefits of agglomeration in the city.
The thing that sort of sticks for me is the people who would like to live closer to the city, closer to work and so on, and would like to move out of their current informal living arrangements. How many of them have the money to move into a densified unit which is part of a vibrant rather than a slum environment?
Well, look, let's be realistic. Our urban population is growing through natural population growth. Kids get older and they want to move out of the parents' house. They want a place of their own. Through migration, internal migration and external migration. So there are lots of factors pushing the population up and the demand for housing. The kind of units that I know Johannesburg better than Cape Town, and Cape Town is a very expensive place for housing compared to the rest of the country, even for poorer people, so just bear that in mind. I know more about Johannesburg and the kind of prices. Take Hillbrow, for example. We have an example of a young entrepreneur who bought a building that was completely derelict, you know, really sort of beyond the pale, exposed electricity wires and so on, turned this into 29 small units. So these are very basic units, and is charging about $1,500 to $2,500 per month. And we've got examples in Delft, for example, of somebody whose mother couldn't get her state pension, and so together this young entrepreneur and her mother built a sort of double story of four units, and they're charging a similar kind of price there as well. So this is quite low in terms of affordability. You know, we're getting low down. It's not perfect, but think of the transport money that you save. So these are trade-offs that people have to make, and there is certainly an enormous demand of people who can afford basic rental accommodation, whether it's in Alex, in Johannesburg, in somebody's backyard, or, you know, sort of Delft or Dunoon or Paro or places like that in the Cape, where this is happening, and it's happening at real scale. So I don't think there's a problem of demand. We're not saying this is the total solution. There will be people who might not even be able to afford $1,500 a month. And some of these units, you know, you share ablution facilities or you share kitchen facilities, which helps bring the price down. But there's more demand than people can keep up with. So from, you know, along the Voortrekker Road corridor in the Cape, from Salt River to Maitland to Paro, this is happening already. And the key is, so it's not that there aren't enough people with this kind of money.
Anne Bernstein, thank you very much. Executive Director of the Center for Development and Enterprise. In the past 20-